hear your voice when you sleep next to me. I still feel your touch in my dream. Forgive me my weakness, but I don't know why. Without you, it's hard to survive. 'Cause every time we touch, I get this feeling. And every time we kiss, I swear I could fly. Can't you feel my heart beat fast? I want this to last. Need you by my side. 'Cause every time we touch, I feel the static. And every time we kiss, I reach for the sky. Can't you hear my heart beat go? I can't let you go. Want you in my life. Your arms are my castle, your heart is my sky. They wipe away tears that I cry. The good and the bad times, we've been through them all. You make me rise when I fall. 'Cause every time we touch, I get this feeling.
Invite you to get active. Each week at this time, Z100 presents another way for you to get active in the community. Z100's Get Active features conversations with community leaders, directors of local charities and civic organizations, outlining what they are doing to make life in the tri-state area better. Z100 urges everyone to get involved in the community. So take a few minutes and check out this week's Get Active.
Welcome to iHeartRadio Communities, a public affairs special focusing on the biggest issues impacting you this week. Here's Ryan Gorman.
Thanks so much for joining us here on iHeartRadio Communities. I'm Ryan Gorman, and we have a few very important conversations lined up for you. In a bit, we'll check in with the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute for Sickle Cell Awareness Month. Plus, we'll talk to a child psychiatrist about youth mental health. But first, to get things started, I'm joined by founding member of the Zac Brown Band and Grammy Award winner John Driscoll Hopkins, who's here to talk about his work in the fight to find a cure for ALS. John, thanks so much for coming on the show. And let's begin with your diagnosis with ALS. Did you know much about the disease before you discovered you had it?
I had heard about it. We all did the ice bucket challenge in 14. And I knew a little bit about Lou Gehrig. And I think what startled me the most was how quickly ALS destroys your nerve muscle connection and your motor neurons. I didn't realize that it was typically a really fast thing that is 100% fatal. So when I went down the rabbit hole after my diagnosis, things got dark really quickly, and I'm starting to feel a little bit better about it because my progression is slower, but that does nothing for the fact that we don't know what causes it. We don't know how to stop it. There have been very few cases where it was either misdiagnosed or someone emerged in a reversal. So basically, when you learn about this, the things you learn are 3 to 5 year life expectancy, 100% fatal. Mm-hmm. And that was a huge shock to me. And I think a huge shock to more people. And a lot of people don't know a lot about ALS or the prediction that we expect to see a 70% increase in cases by 2040. It's the trend, and we don't know what's causing it. It could be head trauma. It could be toxicity in our environment. It could be microbiome or heavy metals. These are all possibilities, but we don't have a definitive understanding of what causes ALS or a motor neuron disease.
What was the reaction among the rest of the band when you broke the news to them that you were diagnosed with ALS?
The Zach Brown Band has had my back since the beginning, and they have all been very supportive of me. I think many of them were in the same boat that I was and had to figure out what that was. And I quickly explained it to them on a group Zoom with everyone. And we don't do those often, so I think everyone kind of suspected that it was not going to be good. But instantly, everyone flocked to my side, and we have an incredible fan club that has raised thousands of dollars, sometimes thousands in a show, that they donate to our 501c3 Hop on a Cure. And we are trying desperately to get as much quality research as we can paid for.
How quickly were you able to start to utilize your unique position, again, as a founding member of the Zach Brown Band, to raise awareness for ALS and to do what you just mentioned, start to raise money for a cure for the disease?
I was diagnosed December 22nd, 2021, and we founded hoponacure.org on May of 2022. So basically between five and six months later, we were out there shouting from the rooftops, and we had video support on the 2022 tour and the 23, and we had video support this year when we were out with Kenny Chesney. So we've been able to spread the word a lot, and by the end of the year, we will have funded more than $3 million worth of research. So in a relatively short time, that's pretty exciting for us. And that's just the beginning. You know, we have a mighty team that is still small. And we're able to do amazing things with our team. And we hope to just keep doubling each year and get to where we can really do some good toward finding a cure.
The website again is hoponacure.org. That's hoponacure.org. That's where you can learn more and offer your support. Have you found others with ALS have reached out to you? I find when I interview public figures, musicians, artists, celebrities who are dealing with something, it becomes very helpful for them to connect with others who are dealing with it as well, especially others who are public figures.
Yeah. When we started doing our own research, the two most prominent figures that we discovered were Steve Gleason and Brian Wallach. And so we reached out to their teams very soon after diagnosis. In fact, remember, it was December 21, so in March 22, I went to the Gleason Gala in New Orleans with my wife, Jennifer, and we were a little scared, but we were ready to hit this thing head on. And so just a couple of months in, we were getting advice and picking the brains of people who had beaten the 5-year mark. You know, Steve Gleason was in a chair and on a ventilator within 2 years of his diagnosis, and he's been alive and thriving from his wheelchair for the past 9 years or more. And that's inspiring. You know, he has a zen that I don't know that I would have. I don't know that I would be able to exist in that capacity. I don't know if I have the courage or the will to do something like that. But I would like to think that I do. And from Steve's perspective, you know, there's really nothing we wouldn't do for our children. So in that way, he has really been an amazing father to his kids. And that goes for Brian Wallach as well. Brian worked on the Obama campaign and has been battling ALS for 7 or 8 years, and he was given 6 months in the beginning. So, you know, all the things that we know about this and all the things that we don't know really don't matter. This is a very different disease for everyone. And until we find something that works for everyone, we're not there yet. You know, we've found a cure for 0.2, I'm going to get the numbers wrong, 2% of familial cases. Familial cases are 10% of ALS cases. That means it was passed down from mom or dad, or you have the gene. I'm a sporadic case, so I am in the 90% of cases, but 10% are familial, and 2% of those 10% have something that's working for them called tofersen. And that just lets us know that we can beat it. You know, ALS is not incurable. ALS is massively underfunded. So we need to take those little moments where people have had these victories and expand upon them.
I'm Ryan Gorman, joined by Grammy Award winner and founding member of the Zac Brown Band, John Driscoll Hopkins. We're talking about his work in the fight to find a cure for ALS. So, John, tell us about your organization, the work you're doing through that foundation. Everyone can learn more at hoponacure.org. Again, that's hoponacure.org.
Hop on a Cure is dedicated to funding research to eradicate ALS and to reverse it. So we started this in May of 22. My wife and my manager and I were driven to create a 501c3 that we thought a lot of people would get behind and use it on the platform that we've built with the Zac Brown Band. So I can't tell you how much that has benefited. I know lots of people who have started 501c3s and they're doing incredible work, but it's slow going when you don't have this rocket propulsion into the stages and the media that we do. So we're really excited and blessed to have this opportunity to share it with so many people. We believe that we have funded really important clinical trials where we have backed Duke University and Massachusetts General Hospital and ALS TDI in Boston, just to name a few. And these are the leading research centers in our country. And there are many more that have programs that we are very interested in exploring and getting behind with funding. You know, when you look at things like HIV, right? When I was a kid years ago, you might remember that used to be an instant death sentence. And if you had HIV, it meant get your affairs in order. And now it means take this pill, get on a better diet, do what the doctor says, and you're going to be fine. We need to get ALS to a place like that. And I realize it's apples and oranges, but the way that we need to approach it is to make it livable and preventable. So we're doing everything we can to push that and to make it ALS a thing of the past.
John Driscoll Hopkins, Grammy Award winner and founding member of the Zac Brown Band. You can learn more about his organization at hoponacure.org. Again, that's hoponacure.org. John, thank you so much for taking the time to come on and tell your story and talk about this really important issue. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Ryan.
All right, I'm Ryan Gorman here on iHeartRadio Communities, and now let me bring in my next guest. I'm joined by Dr. Courtney Fitzhugh, sickle cell disease expert with the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute. September is National Sickle Cell Awareness Month. Dr. Fitzhugh, thanks so much for coming on the show, and let's start with an overview of the work you do at the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute.
Thank you so much for having me. So, of course, our focus is sickle cell disease, and we're focused on curative therapies, specifically using a half match donor approach. So traditional approaches to bone marrow transplantation use siblings who are a complete tissue match, but less than 15% of people with sickle cell disease have a matched sibling donor. So with haploidentical or half-matched donor transplant, 90% have a parent, a child, or a half-matched sibling who could serve as a donor.
And are there other areas of focus for you at the Institute aside from that?
I also focus on, you know, I don't want to just cure the patients. I don't want to just get rid of their sickle cell disease. I want them to have a long, you know, life that and an improved quality of life. So we're looking at the impact that this transplant has on their organs and specifically, but also looking at impact on pain and fertility, quality of life. And then looking for genetic risk factors for one of the feared complications, leukemia, which can happen rarely when the transplant doesn't work.
So what exactly is sickle cell disease?
Sickle cell disease is a disease that people can be born with, and it impacts red blood cells. So normally red blood cells, which carry oxygen throughout the body, are shaped like a donut, and they are flexible and can easily move through the blood vessels. But with sickle cell disease, the red blood cells are shaped more like a sickle or a crescent, and they're stiff. So they can get stuck within the blood vessels, and the organs may not get the amount of oxygen that they need.
How common is this disease here in the U.S., and who is impacted by it the most?
Approximately 100,000 people in the United States are living with sickle cell disease, and more than 90% of people with sickle cell disease are non-Hispanic, Black, or African-American. And one out of every 365 Black or African-American babies are born with sickle cell disease.
What are some of the signs and symptoms of this disease?
The most common symptom is severe and debilitating pain, which can come out of nowhere. Patients are also frequently anemic, so they can be tired and have low energy levels. And it can impact organs. So you can have children that may have had a stroke, or young adults that require hip replacement because of the damage to the joints. You have some who are on dialysis because of the kidney failure, some with heart failure, some with severe, painful, non-healing leg ulcers. So it really can impact the quality and the quantity of life.
What advances have been made when it comes to treatment options for sickle cell disease? And tell us a little bit about clinical trials and the role they play.
For a long time, we only had one drug available for sickle cell disease, hydroxyurea. It's still the best drug that we have, and it's been shown to decrease the frequency of these acute painful episodes. It's been shown to increase hemoglobin, decrease the red cell transfusion requirement, and it's also been shown to improve survival in some studies. But now, in the last decade, we've had three new drugs that are FDA approved, and there's a lot of clinical trials that are ongoing with other drugs that are being studied. And there's also new curative approaches. So I talked about the type of bone marrow transplant that I do. But just last year, gene therapy and gene editing were FDA approved as curative options for sickle cell. Clinical trials are really important in helping to develop safe and effective new treatments and potential cures for sickle cell disease. So we really appreciate patients enrolling on clinical trials.
Where can everyone go to learn more about all of this for Sickle Cell Awareness Month?
They can go to sicklecell.nhlbi.nih.gov to find resources for patients and their loved ones, as well as information on treatments and clinical trials that are available for sickle cell disease.
Dr. Courtney Fitzhugh, sickle cell disease expert with the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute. Again, September is National Sickle Cell Awareness Month. Dr. Fitzhugh, thanks so much for taking the time to come on the show. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for what you're doing to increase sickle cell awareness.
All right, I'm Ryan Gorman here on iHeartRadio Communities. One of the biggest issues facing families across the country, youth mental health. A growing number of children and teens in the U.S. struggling with mental health conditions, and 50% of all mental health conditions start to appear before the age of 14. So to learn more about all of this, to step us through what to watch for, how to address these concerns if they come up, we're joined now by child psychiatrist and National Alliance on Mental Illness Associate Medical Director, Dr. Christine M. Crawford. She's author of the new book, You Are Not Alone, for Parents and Caregivers. Dr. Crawford, thanks so much for taking a few minutes to come on the show and talk about this really important issue that, again, so many families are dealing with. The statistics are really alarming. So your book is coming at a really good time. And let's begin there. Tell us a little bit about what you were trying to get across in this book.
Yes, so thanks so much for having me. Now, this book is a comprehensive guide for parents, for caregivers, for any adult who's invested in the mental health of their kid, how to support their mental health development. You know, kids are struggling and caregivers are also struggling with how to support them. So this book talks about how to talk to your kids about mental health, how to recognize whether they have a mental health problem or if their behavior is typical for kids of their age. And then we go through all the different mental health conditions, the most common ones, you know, talking about how they manifest in kids as young as 3, all the way up to 18. And I also interviewed over 80 people, including adults who happen to be teachers, parents themselves, young adults, and kids who shared their wisdom about what has been helpful for them along their mental health journey. So this book covers so many different topics, and I love that it's a one-stop reference for families so they can better support their kids' mental health.
Can you give us an overview of the work that you do at the National Alliance on Mental Illness and the mission of that organization, which everyone can check out at NAMI.org?
Yeah, so NAMI is the country's largest grassroots organization dedicated to mental health and supporting and improving the mental health of people across the country. We have a series of mental health educational workshops, as well as support groups for individuals living with mental health conditions, but also for their family members, for their caregivers, for their friends, so that they can also learn about how they can better support mental health. And so this book is a product of all of the wisdom that's within the NAMI community. And so I want folks to know that NAMI is out there across the country as an amazing resource for people who are struggling with their mental health.
So when I was introducing you, I alluded to how big of a problem youth mental health has become in recent years, but you're certainly in a much better position to break that down for us than I am. So can you give us an overview? What are we dealing with here in this country?
Yeah, so what we have seen over the years is an increase in rates of depression, anxiety, and what's really concerning is that we're seeing the early signs and symptoms of pretty serious mental health conditions in kids who are very young as 5 years old. And so it's really concerning that kids are struggling at a young age and they have difficulty accessing help and support that they need because there are a lack of child mental health providers across the country. So kids are struggling and they're also struggling accessing the help that they really need.
So I'm sure we have some parents listening right now who are concerned about their child's mental health. What tips do you offer up in this book, which again is called You Are Not Alone, for parents and caregivers?
Yeah, so the first thing that I tell parents is that they should take the time to notice their child. It sounds like such a simple thing, but we live such busy and fast-paced lives that it's hard for us to appreciate subtle changes in our kids' mood and their behaviors. But if we start to notice a pattern of change, for us to be curious about what might be behind some of those changes, to sit down and engage in a conversation with your kid from a place of curiosity rather than making assumptions about why they might be behaving differently. And so saying things to your kids like, well, I've noticed that you don't seem to be as interested in hanging out with your friends, or I've noticed that you are a little bit more moody. What do you think is behind that? And they can reveal to you what their lives are like, what sort of inner thoughts that they may have, and that could give you a better sense as to how you can best support them, rather than just making assumptions about what's going on with them.
Do you have any tips for how to initially approach that conversation? Because I'm assuming that can be perhaps a bit intimidating for some parents.
It's important for parents to know that they do not have to be mental health experts to engage in conversations with their kids about mental health. And they also shouldn't worry that by talking about mental health issues, that they're planting the seed for the kid to develop issues later on in life. It's important for us to lean into these conversations and not be afraid of getting it right all the time. It's possible you may make some missteps. You may say the wrong thing. There's an opportunity for you to learn about how you can better support them. If you did say the wrong thing, you can ask your kid, seems like there was a misstep there. I might not have said that properly. How could I rephrase that differently? Or what could be helpful that I can offer you in this moment? And so I think that parents really need to know that they don't have to get it right. They may get it wrong, and that's okay. It's really about connecting with your kids at the end of the day.
I'm Ryan Gorman, joined by child psychiatrist and National Alliance on Mental Illness Associate Medical Director, Dr. Christine M. Crawford. She's author of the new book, You Are Not Alone, for Parents and Caregivers. Are there some behaviors that parents and caregivers should watch out for to get a sense as to whether or not their child is dealing with mental health issues?
Yeah, so there's a concept in the book that I talk about that I call the distress radius. And what that is understanding if the problem that you're seeing in your kid is just an issue between you and the kid, or an issue that's only seen in the home, or is this something that's interfering with other domains of their life that go beyond the walls of the home? Are we seeing challenges in school? Are we seeing challenges in their interactions with other adults or with other kids? Are they having a hard time functioning? And that's really what is the main thing, is understanding, are these behaviors getting in the way of this kid's ability to function outside of the home? And if that is the case, then certainly seeking out additional supports is warranted.
In this book, do you address some of the whys, why we're seeing such an increase in these different mental health issues among children and teens?
Yeah, so I certainly talk about a lot of the stressors that kids are facing with, but I also talk a lot about adult mental health. I talk about how adults are really struggling to get the help and support that they need. And in recent years, especially with the pandemic, we know that a lot of people in this country are really challenged with being able to get the help and support that they need to cope with really big, intense emotions. So I talk a lot about how caregivers need to take a step back and reflect on their own mental health needs and how their mental health may have a direct influence on their child's mental health. So I certainly cover those topics in this book.
And final question for you, where can everyone go to learn more about what we've been discussing and to get this book? Again, You Are Not Alone, for Parents and Caregivers. Where would they be able to find all of that?
Yes. So people should go to nami.org/book. So that's nami.org/book. And they can learn about NAMI, and they can also purchase the book through that website.
All right, Dr. Christine M. Crawford, child psychiatrist and National Alliance on Mental Illness Associate Medical Director. She's author of the new book, You Are Not Alone, for Parents and Caregivers, which you can find at NAMI.org. That's NAMI.org. Dr. Crawford, thank you so much for taking a few minutes to come on the show. We really appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right, and that's going to do it for this edition of iHeartRadio Communities. As we wrap things up, I want to offer a big thanks to all of our guests and, of course, to all of you for listening. If you want to hear previous episodes of this show, we're on your iHeartRadio app. Just search for iHeartRadio Communities.
You've been listening to Get Active on Z100. Reach out and get active in your community. From soup kitchens to counseling centers, hospice care to the public library, find something you can do to make life in the tri-state area better. Thanks for listening. And remember, get active.
September 30th, Sabrina's giving Barclays a taste.
And all weekend, Z100's getting you in the door with sold-out tickets.
Serena Carpenter. Z100 has your tickets all weekend.
Just listen for the cue to call.
You're calling 100, yeah?
Oh, my God, that's amazing!
Yay.
Thank you.
Please.
Sold out Sabrina Carpenter tickets all weekend.
On Z100, New York's number one hit music station.
Sponsored by Playland Park.
The biggest headliners in live music shared the stage this weekend at our 2024 iHeartRadio Music Festival, presented by Capital One.
Big Sean,
Camila Cabello, Doja Cat, Dua Lipa,
Gwen Stefani,
Halsey,
Hozier, Keith Urban,
New Kids on the Block,
Paramore,
Shaboozy,
The Black Crowes,
The Weeknd,
Thomas Rhett,
Victoria Monet,
Chris from the band Coldplay.
This lineup for this festival is nuts.
The iHeartRadio Music Festival.
Relive all of the once-in-a-lifetime moments now, streaming only on Hulu.
iHeartRadio, music you should know, featuring Alex Warren, Carry You Home.
Oh, I hope you know I will carry you home, whether it's tonight or 55 years down the road. Oh, I know there's so many ways this could go. Don't want you to wonder, darling, I need you to know. We were talking to the sunset, throwing dreams against the wall. I know none of them are stuck yet, but I bet it on you, honey. Oh, I would risk it all. These days, these nights, I'm changing my mind is set on you. I'm not afraid to say it, to say it's true. Oh, every time. We were California dreaming, our life fit in that car. Didn't have a bed to sleep in, we kept each other warm. The ceiling full of stars.
These days, these nights, changing my mind, set on you. I'm not afraid to say it,
to say I do.
Create your own Alex Warren custom station with iHeartRadio. Download the app or listen at iHeartRadio.com.
The free iHeartRadio app has over 100 commercial-free stations waiting for you to explore right now, like K-pop radio, featuring the ultimate in K-pop. Jimin, New Jeans, Stray Kids, aespa, and more. All commercial-free. Just open the free iHeartRadio app, search K-pop radio, and listen now. iHeartRadio. Free never sounded so good.
Or I go Houdini, I come and I go. Prove you got the-
today.
Turn up the music.
Let's go.
Let's get back to the music.
My station.
100.
New York's number one hit music station.
What did she say?
J-J-J-J-R.
What you say? That you only meant well, of course you did. What you say?
Jason Derulo.
That it's all for the best, of course it is.
I was so wrong for so long, only trying to please myself. Girl, I was caught up in her lust when I don't really want no one else. So, no, I know I should have treated you better, but me and you were meant to last forever. So let me in, give me another chance not to really be your man. Cause when the roof caved in and the truth came out, I just didn't know what to do. But when I become a star, together. So let me in, give me another chance not to really be your man. Cause when the roof caved in and the truth came out, I just didn't know what to do. But when I become a star, we'll be living so large, I'll do anything for you. So tell me, girl,
what you say? Oh, that you only meant well, of course you did. What you say?
Tell me what you say. I really need you in my life, cause things ain't right, girl. Tell me what you say. I don't want you to leave me, though you call me cheating. Tell me what you say. I really need you in my life, cause things ain't right. Cause when the roof caved in and the truth came out, I just didn't know what to do. But when I become a star, we'll be living so large.
Judgment. I know I have good taste. It's funny and it's ironic that only I feel that way. I promise I'm not you're different, and everyone makes mistakes, but just don't. I heard that you're an actor, so act like a stand-up guy. Whatever devil's inside you, don't let them out tonight. I tell them it's just your culture, and everyone rolls their eyes. Yeah, I know. All I'm asking, baby, please, 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 don't prove I'm right. Please, 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 don't bring me to tears when I just did my makeup so nice. Heartbreak is one.
100 commercial-free stations like K-pop radio. Just search K-pop radio and listen now on your free iHeartRadio app. Free never sounded so good.
rather be.
Of the blame if you want me to, but you know that there is no innocent one in this game for two. I go, and then you go out and spill the truth. Can we
forget this. Yeah. Is it too late now to say sorry? 'Cause I'm missing more than just your body.